are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you. So today we're taking your questions and your comments. If you're watching, we are live. And we would love to hear from you. So give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, you can always reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. Well, the question for today's show is this. How do the virtues of joy and confidence and courage sustain you in the midst of a culture of death and sorrow? And in case you haven't smelled the coffee, we are in a culture of death. And if you turn on the news, there's all these alerts about this and alerts about that. There is misery and sorrow, and we are certainly praying for the world and peace in the world, as we have Russia and Ukraine, and we have Iran attacking Israel and our involvement in it, and it's a lot. Yeah. And so you want to keep your eyes on Jesus. You want to be prayerful. You want to be a person that's interceding and being on your knees. But at the same time, you have to be full of joy and courage and confidence in God. And so that you're not having an out-of-body experience, that you are being integrated and connected in body, mind, and spirit, but keeping our eyes on Jesus and saying, Lord, at the end of the day, Jesus, you are in charge. You are in charge. And Jesus, I trust in you. Take care of everything.
Amen. Well, I guess there's a reason why Easter season is 50 days, that we need to keep that focus on the victory of Jesus Christ through the power of his resurrection. So I want to know Christ. I want to have fellowship with Christ. I want to have fellowship with his sufferings and know the power of his resurrection. And that is what sustains us in the midst of a culture of death and suffering. You mentioned wars, the attack upon Israel. We think of abortion that takes place. Seems to be even increasing after the Dobbs decision. That's really been troubling me. Of course, we work in a pregnancy medical center. We see these babies that will live or that will die. It's very difficult to get that close and understand what's going on. We see some people that seem to be devoutly pro-life compromising at this time. And so it's great to be a Catholic, to know that life is sacred from the very moment of conception through natural death. Wanted to mention the missionaries of the Gospel of Life.org, missionaries of the Gospel of Life.org. Joy, you and I are missionaries of the Gospel of Life. And because we mentioned three particular virtues, joy, confidence, and courage. There are many, many other virtues. But recently I've turned to these three, which are a part of the missionaries of the Gospel of Life. It's a pro-life spirituality to help sustain you. Because once you know the reality of what's taking place here, and the killing of preborn children up to the moment of birth. Some people want it beyond. How do we bear this? How do we get sustained? How do we not get so overly angry or hateful about what's going on? We need a spirituality that will empower us and sustain us. And so we want to hear from you today about, and we're going to speak about those three virtues in particular. How do the virtues of joy, a joyful sorrow, as it's called, what does that mean, a joyful sorrow? Confidence. None of this is confidence in and of ourselves. It's confidence, trusting in the Lord, the ruler of heaven and earth, and of his victory. How do we gain confidence? And how do we have courageo, courage? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. Well, God can deliver us from the fiery furnace. And if he doesn't, know this, we're not going to consent to your edict. So we need to have those spiritual virtues. Give us a call now, 1-800-221-9460 or 205-271-2980. So in the midst of all the suffering and sorrow, we are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, remember that today we're taking your questions and your comments on our show. So please give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with a question or a comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com and check us out on Facebook. So this was the question, and we would love to hear what you think. How do the virtues of joy and confidence and courage sustain you in the midst of a culture of death and sorrow? And as we were preparing for the show and we were sitting down having our conversation after our prayer time, you know, with the things that we were sharing, you know, I do have, and it is a privilege daily, to go into a counseling room and to meet with clients on a daily basis who are thinking that abortion is going to solve their problem. And so I go in confidence, not in confidence in joy, in confidence in Jesus, that he's going to show up and that his love is going to win. And a case in point is, you know, I had a client the other day and she had had two abortions and she wanted a third one. And she had a little bit of an attitude. And so in and of my flesh, because I'm just a human being, I'm on a journey to holiness, in and of my flesh, I wanted to have a little bit of an attitude too. And I knew that was not going to win. And so I was listening to the best of my ability to the Holy Spirit. And all that Jesus kept saying was, keep loving her. Come around and keep loving her. Come around and keep loving her. And I'm telling you, before my eyes, love showed up. It manifested. And all of my feelings of that I had, God would just kind of squelch them. It was like, no, joy is not going to win. Jesus is going to win here. Because I love this girl. Even though she's had two abortions and she's thinking about having another one. Mm. And Joy, I need for you to share with her in pure love. And we had a beautiful conversation that I know is being orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. And so she was very early. We scanned her. I didn't know whether or not she had a viable pregnancy. And so she was going to come back. And so there'll be a part two to this story. But the confidence that we have to have in every relationship is love. Confidence in Jesus, that he loves that person who you might be married to, you might be raising your children, some people you're taking care of, your coworkers. He loves them more than you do. And whether they're intentionally hurting you or speaking words that are hurting your person, God wants us to respond in love. And so we have to get ourselves in places where we're receiving pure love, Amen. Which is in the sacraments, which is in adoration, which is in the Word of God, which is all the things that the Catholic Church offers to us, but we have to make ourselves available to them so that we can be the people that God wants us to be, Beautiful. The best version of ourselves that day.
We have a phone call, Joy, from Daniel from Pennsylvania on the phone with us. Daniel, welcome to At Home with Jim and Joy. Your thoughts on how these virtues or other virtues can sustain you in the midst of a culture of death and of sorrow. Go right ahead, Daniel.
Yes, I called to see if I could get some help, if you could answer a question. I returned to the faith approximately 3 or 4 months ago after I got out of the Army in Vietnam. I just fell away. I didn't do anything spiritually. I didn't do anything. I tried non-Catholic worship places, and I didn't get anything out of it. I just thought it was. Then I went back to the Catholics, like I say, 3 or 4 months ago, and I found it to be more. What would you call it? More sacred or something. There's just something about the Catholic Mass. I forgot how beautiful it was.
Right.
And so I now am a retread Catholic, if you will.
Okay.
I go to Mass every day. I received every chance I get. I've received today, and I just find that I am being attacked by the evil one. I just want to know if you have a recommendation I could pray to someone that you know that would help me during these times of conflict.
Bless you.
Well, thank you so much for calling us. Thank you for your service to our nation. We so appreciate you and the sacrifice that you made. And so glad that the Lord has called you back to the church that he founded through himself. I think you're doing the main things you need to be doing. You need to be going, you're going to Mass every day, and that is absolutely beautiful. You need to continue to give yourself in fullness to the Lord as you receive the Holy Eucharist. You mentioned this affliction that you feel from the dark side, from Satan and his minions. And so when you receive that sacrament as well, seek full deliverance. Say, Lord, I'm receiving you. I mean, every power, every gift, every fruit possible is there in the Holy Eucharist. Good Lord, heal me. It's a healing sacrament as well. It's a delivering sacrament as well. That's very important. I also think of that passage that speaks about put on the full armor of God. Look up that passage. I think it's in Ephesians. Put on the undergarments, the underwear, so to speak, of truth. All I want is truth. Only truth is going to get in here. Because Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth, brother, will set you free. You have confidence in that, not in yourself, not in the weapons of this world, but in the weapons of our warfare. Put on the undergarments of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Take the shield of faith with which you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy that are being shot at you, like Iran shooting these missiles and drones over into Israel. Shoot them down before they reach you. I can't do that. You bet you can't do that. But Jesus Christ can do that. The power of the Spirit can do that. You solicit the saints. You don't know a particular name. All the saints. The Blessed Virgin Mary, beginning with our Saint Joseph. I cry out to you to assist me in this warfare. Put on the helmet of salvation. Because if you get hit in the head, that could be it for you. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel shoes of peace. I put on the peace of Christ, clothed me with the peace of Christ, the garments of Christ. So I think that the weapons of our warfare, the armor of God, I would work with that as well.
And I would suggest also praying the St. Michael prayer, which is very helpful.
Good.
But also, it's helpful to listen to Gregorian chant music. I mean, it has been a game changer for me. Keep it on in your house. Keep it on in your car. I mean, it kind of just changes the atmosphere. And it brings peace, and it's calming.
Yeah.
And so those were some things. Also, the surrender prayer, which is great and wonderful. You know, Jesus, I surrender. I trust in you. Take care of everything. And then it gives a list of a litany of all the things that you're going to surrender over to Jesus.
Yeah.
And it doesn't miss a beat.
And let your priest know what you're going through. Make sure you're going to confession. But what you're sharing about is not necessarily confession, but you can say, Father, I'm so glad to come to confession. Can I make an appointment? Because I need some spiritual guidance.
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm under attack. I'm giving myself to the Lord. And he's taken note of this. And then find out if there's a deacon there you can speak to him. Is there a men's fellowship that you can join? You know how important camaraderie is. You're a man that's probably been in battle. We're in battle. That's why the church on earth is called the church militant. Mm-hmm. Onward Christian soldier, marching off to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. And if we don't know we're in a war, Satan will let you know you're in a war.
Mm-hmm.
And so let us be ready. God bless you. You sound like you're in a great place.
Thank you, Daniel. Well, we have another comment. It says, hi, Jim and Joy. How can I have courage when I'm outnumbered and hushed by my children and their families who no longer believe? How can I be more courageous? And this is Dorothy from Queens, New York. Dorothy, I'm going to give you, I think it's love. You need to be a woman of love in action. You need to be a woman who is praying, who is interceding, who is, God is hearing your heart cry, and God and God alone is going to change their hearts. But they cannot dismiss your love. Love wins. I've had some difficult people in my life, in family and out of family and wherever they are, they're going to be there. And God puts them in our path for a reason. Sometimes he's working out our spiritual holiness and our virtues. He's delivering us from our vices, and he wants to increase the virtues. And so sometimes, and for me, the stakes are always high, and he uses the people I love the most, and it's usually family. Yeah. And so cry out to Jesus that he would give you his supernatural love for them, and that he would help you to be confident and courageous in him. And then sometimes, this is always hard, but sometimes, I've known this to be in my life, he wants me to be quiet and not to suggest or offer my opinion about anything. He just wants to be a quiet witness of love and peace for them. And in time, God wins. God always wins.
Well, if you do get the opportunity, you open your mouth and God will fill it. And then, as Joy was saying just recently, you know, our relationships with people is not an argument to be won. It's an encounter to have and to see where it goes. Affirm them everywhere that you possibly can, but always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you and what brings you joy. Maybe some questions you can ask them about their belief in God, if there is a God or not, or what, how does that work? Or when you're in the church, did you have something that was positive in that experience? Let me tell you what's positive for me. So those are some recommendations for you.
And here's another comment. It says, confident in the gospel of my hope. Confidence is the strength of my hope. I know when I see such a sick culture that our hope is placed in the Lord for a good reason. And let me tell you something. The world is starving. This is Jimmy from Nashville, Tennessee. Okay. The world is hopeless. I mean, there are so many people who are struggling with so many afflictions, and people are oppressed, and people are opting out, and nobody wants to feel anymore. They don't want to feel their sorrow. They want to feel that everybody wants to medicate. And so it's like, no, we have feelings for a reason, so we could cry out to God, so we could be fully alive. And sometimes it's fully alive in sorrow, fully alive in misery. But at the same time, God wants to give you joy, and he wants to give you hope, and he wants to give you peace in the midst of every storm that we are going through in our life. And so we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to not be distracted and not be pulled under.
May the spirit of joy be in you. May a serene confidence in the Lord be within you, manifest through you, and may you have strong courage. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back, and thank you all for your comments today. We always love to hear from you, but before we wrap up today's show, we're going to check in with beautiful Joan Lewis to find out what's happening in the church. Joan, what's the latest news from Rome?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy. And you know, wow, what a challenge this week. Your question, how do the virtues of joy, confidence, and courage sustain me in the midst of a culture of death and sorrow? And I must say, we certainly do seem to be surrounded 24/7 by negativity and division, death, sorrow, wars. I mean, it's very difficult to kind of keep a smile on our face. But we try to do that. We try to say, there's always tomorrow, and tomorrow is going to be better. But sometimes that's actually hard to do. Now, I want to tell you that when we were growing up, my mom kept a very large book for each of the four of us kids, and it was entitled Our Child's First 7 Years. Now, it wasn't just about growing tall or how well we ate or when we lost our first tooth. It was all about personality traits. It was about language skills. It was about interacting with others. And I must say that the words that my mom mostly used for me in those 7 years in that book was joyful, happy, smiling, enthusiastic, loving to interact with others. And by the way, folks, yes, I was a talker back then. I had those communication skills. But I have to say that I think I'm pretty much the same person, even with the decades behind me of challenges and, and problems and everything else, but Mom and Dad gave me such a great foundation. But in addition to their foundation, I have to add an important element, and that is to say faith. Faith is that foundation that gives you just not only joy, but it gives you hope. It gives you a sense of optimism and a sense of strength in the midst of challenges. Now, I think in a world today permeated, it seems to be, by pessimism, we need guideposts to navigate that world. And I want you to think about one other thing, what it's like to be around people who are joyful, positive, uplifting people, always have a smile on their face. They have encouraging, uplifting words when you talk to them. And you know what? They uplift others. It's actually very, very contagious. So we want to be around people like that, but we also want to be like people like that. People with that kind of a spirit, they help us find moments of happiness. They help us smell the flowers. They help us learn to see beauty in even small things. Now, another word you mentioned, of course, was confidence. And that's the inner strength to see our own capabilities, to have confidence in ourselves, to move forward in very negative or pessimistic circumstances. And it's a good shield against negativity. And by the way, you also, of course, mentioned courage. Well, this is critical. What else helps us face our fears, helps us stand up for what we believe in, help us face adversity? Now, the sum total, at least I hope, of what I'm trying to say is that we have to be agents of change to make this a more positive, a better world. We have to be the ones who go around with a smile on our face, be contagious in our joy, use uplifting, positive language with people. And if we can do that and maybe become major players on the world stage, but you know what? We also have to pray. Yes, we have to pray that peace and honesty and truth and justice become permeated into each individual and therefore into society. So on that word, no, my final word is smile at a stranger today. On that, back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for that true, beautiful, and well-rounded teaching. Join us next time for an exciting conversation with Father Roger Landry. We'll be discussing the dangers of gender ideology and how it affects family, society, and the church. Jesus Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.